This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day featuring Father Mark Lawler of St. Therese Catholic Church of Mooresville, North Carolina.
Just beginning last week, we had the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, and the Easter season will continue through the solemnity of Pentecost. And it really is for us a celebration of His victory over sin and death, and the great joy and hope had been expressed throughout this week. And really, as 1 week ago, we celebrated sacraments here at the Easter Vigil and on Easter Sunday as well, of baptisms, of First Communions, and confirmations. And really the reminder for us that every Sunday is, in a sense, a little Easter, a reminder of the resurrection of our Lord. Throughout the Easter season, at the weekday Masses and also the Sunday Masses, we'll have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which is really an incredible book of the New Testament, really gives us an account of the life of the early Christians, kind of gives us an insight into the early church. And we learn in the Acts of the Apostles that the community of believers were of one heart and mind. It's really a beautiful image that they had of unity, of cooperation, and of charity, even as we have in the reading today, that there was not a needy person among them. Really, in a sense, they looked after and cared for one another, and they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles and also to the breaking of the bread, which is saying the Holy Eucharist. We have today, beginning with this Mass as well, the designation of Divine Mercy Sunday. And Saint Faustina, who had a very relatively short life, similar to our own patroness, Saint Therese, and she had the revelation to pray for souls and to tell the world about Divine Mercy. And certainly we're very thankful for her faithfulness. The readings today give us an example of the effects of the resurrection on the life of the believers and also on the community of faith. It's a reminder that no one became a Christian in isolation. It's a faith that has been shared from one generation to the next. No one just totally, like on an island somewhere, became a Christian. It's a faith that has been revealed and is passed on, as even the commission of our Lord to His apostles, go forth and make disciples of all nations, in a sense, to proclaim the word, to share the faith. And again, we're very thankful for those who helped us to grow in the faith. Parents, grandparents, godparents, catechists, perhaps pastors and sisters also had some role in that, but we're very thankful for those who help us in the ways of faith, in a sense of hope. We have in the gospel passage today really this ministry of reconciliation. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." They were commissioned to be ministers of reconciliation, and we believe that it didn't end with the last apostle's death, but it continues in the life of the priest, in the priesthood throughout all of these generations. You know, a priest, unworthy as we are, we have been given this commission. And really for me, as I look back, when I was preparing for my ordination, I could kind of picture the sacraments. I kind of picture a baptism, for example, usually of a very little child, or I could even picture myself officiating a marriage, the great joy of the bride and groom. I could picture myself celebrating the Mass. And I was a little bit nervous about the sacrament of penance. Thought, oh my goodness, how is it going to be my life on the other side of the screen. What am I possibly going to say in a sense of pastoral care? I can think back more than 25 years ago, my first day on the job over at Holy Family in Clemens, where my first day in a confessional, and it was already a long line when I got there. And I thought to myself, what am I going to say? And I can look back at that day, and there were some of the toughest cases I've ever heard in the last 25 years. I think everybody was saving up. They heard a new priest was coming to their parish. I said, well, this is our great opportunity here. This priest has never heard anything like I'm going to tell him before. But again, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And really, it's a reflection that I can have is that I'm an instrument of God's mercy. And especially on this weekend, Divine Mercy Sunday, I'm an instrument of God's mercy, and certainly very thankful for the Holy Spirit to help me through the trials of the priesthood. You know, I can never reveal a penitent or a confession, but I can say that it's great joy sometimes at a penance service to hear somebody say, Father, it's been 50 years since my last confession. It shows the grace of God moving that person to a sense of peace. You know, no telling what has happened, but the Spirit of God moved that person to celebrate that sacrament. And again, we had a good crowd today in anticipation of Divine Mercy Sunday. There's a certain sense of the trials, and every Christian at one time or another will know trials. And really, we can say our faith is tested in those times. Even there's a scriptural image of tested in fire, proven in times of challenge. I can remember when I was a young engineering student, and I'm a mechanical engineering, and we shared the first 2 years of our curriculum with the aerospace engineering department. And I remember I used to go down there, and they had a wind tunnel, and some of the professors were very much experts in that field. They even had, I remember there was testing in the wind tunnel, a model of an F-15, and they were doing all kinds of analysis on it. And I can remember a professor saying, and never thought I'd ever be saying, repeating something from an engineering class in a homily, he was saying that we can design a plane. You can design it and now with computers, you can design it. You can make a model, put it in the wind tunnel. You can even make some kind of mock-ups. But it's not really proven until it's proven for what it was intended to do, which is to fly. And so in a sense, proven in flight, our faith is not usually tested in times of ease, but in times of adversity, in times of challenge. And that is a true test of faith. Our Lord's greeting to his apostles following the resurrection, peace be with you. And peace is not the absence of war, but peace in this context is rather harmony between God and humanity and for one another. Peace be with you. And he gave them their mission to bear witness to him throughout the world. Receive the Holy Spirit. We have in this gospel passage as well, and I think it's very helpful for all of us, the lesson of the Apostle Thomas. Thomas wasn't there, the first appearance of our Lord in the upper room, the locked doors. We don't know where Thomas was. Perhaps he was grieving, he was sad, perhaps confused, perhaps in a sense lost. So when he came back to the assembly and they said, we have seen the Lord, he wasn't ready to accept that. He put conditions on believing. He said, unless I put my finger in the nail marks and see the wounds and even put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He put conditions on believing. Perhaps he just was thinking, if it's just a mirage or if it's just a dream, I don't want to be hurt any more than I already have been. So the Lord returned and Thomas was there. And so the Lord uses his own conditions. Well, come here. See the wounds. Put your finger in the nail marks. Touch my side. And there's a famous painting by a famous a Renaissance artist, Caravaggio, where Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." And really, we can kind of imagine that he's falling to his knees as he says, "My Lord and my God." And the Lord says, "Have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that would be all of the people in the missions and us as well. We're witnesses to the resurrection, but not in the same sense as the apostles. We see with the eyes of faith. There's a sense that even in society, there's this expression, doubting Thomas. Well, that's only the beginning of it, doubting Thomas. I think even sometimes people can be skeptical, might even be accused of being a doubting Thomas. Sometimes people with the name Thomas can be susceptible to that as well. Years ago, when I was a seminarian, I was in a little country parish in the middle of Tennessee, and there was an older gentleman in the parish. He was late 80s, and he had a sister in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And that's a long way from the middle of Tennessee to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. But he asked me if I would drive him because he wanted to see his sister in Rocky Mount. And I said, "Tom, why do you want to see your sister?" And he said, "Well, we had like 8 or 9 kids in the family, and we're the only 2 left." He said, "And I'm not going to be here very much longer. So when I get to the other side, all of my siblings are going to say, 'How's Nancy?'" He said, "I haven't seen her in about 6 or 7 years or so. So I need to see her so I can relate to the others how Nancy's doing." So he had an old antique Cadillac, and I drove him all the way to eastern North Carolina. They hadn't seen each other in maybe 6 or 7 years or so. And we come into her house, her and her husband, and he said, "Nancy, how are you?" And she said, "Oh, Tom, let me tell you this great story of what happened." She said, "I had this terrible pain in my hand, and we had a healing mass in our parish, and the priest prayed over my hand and touched my hand, and now the pain is gone. I'm healed." So here he hadn't seen his sister in about 6 or 7 years, and he said, "No, Nancy, you're not healed. The nerve went dead, and you can't feel the pain anymore." She said, "You've always been a doubting Thomas." But that's not the end of for the Apostle Thomas. When he said, "My Lord and my God," that's believing Thomas. That's the Apostle Thomas, who went all the way to India to proclaim the gospel, where he suffered martyrdom. And we have parishioners in this parish that identify themselves as St. Thomas Christians. Not to say that Thomas was our Savior, but he was the missionary that went to India. And there's this tradition all the way back to the apostolic period of not Thomas the doubter, but Thomas the missionary. So we have been called as well to bear witness to the risen Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
You've been listening to the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Mark Lawler of St. Therese Catholic Church of Mooresville, North Carolina, on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app.